Freud was able to show that there were certain elements in the unmanifest, which he called the unconscious. Wishes, he thought, consisted solely of wishes. But this isn't so. It consists of far more than wishes. But there are the wish elements in it. Now, the yogic psychology is this. It's rather like grass. I perform an action here. And then that action, that grass has seeds. And the seeds drop down. And then they take root here. And that results when the conditions are favorable, dynamic progression. If there's a stone there, maybe it can't come up for quite a long time. The stone may be removed or it may go round. So there are these tendencies in the unmanifest which tend to shoot up and reproduce themselves. There are many different kinds. Some are good, some are bad. And there's this tremendous mixture down here where they intertwine with each other and they reinforce each other and sometimes they conflict with each other. But there are these tendencies for the action will create these dynamic impressions below the surface, which dynamic impressions then try to come up, and when the occasion is favorable, they will shoot up and try and reproduce themselves. Supposing the green ones are unfavorable. I've got some shocking habits which I've become aware of. So I want to get rid of them. So I get rid of them. I give up these actions, these unfavorable actions. Perhaps it's a habit of running people down. I don't like it if they do better than I do, so we have a pleasant phrase to pull someone's leg in to make fun. That's a joke. But in some Far Eastern languages, pull the leg means that you're all climbing a mountain. He's going up faster than I am, so I'm pulling his leg, pull him down to my level. Don't want anyone surpassing me. Well, all right, I decide I won't do that anymore. So I resolved not to perform those actions. But there's something constantly trying to come up. I got rid of them. Keeps coming up again, then I get rid of them again. No, I won't do that. I definitely won't do that. Some of them turn into action. That's me, I suppose. Can't stop it. Well, the reason, the yogic account of this is that we can change our surface behavior and our surface thinking. I can come to realize what a shocking, mean and childish habit it is to run people down who are successful. And I'm repelled by it, I don't like it. But still these impulses constantly arise. From the seedbed, which is full of these dynamic impressions. And people who go in for a saintly life. Now the yoga psychology is that the impressions of the yoga truth are consist of actions and thoughts. And I've only got two colors. They go down here. And then they too, the righteous deeds, will tend to reproduce themselves. But in the meantime, these are also, so my life is fixed. And below the surface, between the desire to do well and the desire to do evil, to do wrong, I may solve that battle on the top level by eliminating this conduct. But there's something below always crying. the Chinese verse. I'm going to quote it later on, but it says, when a man's a wolf, even in his laughter, you can hear a growl. Even though there's nothing on the surface, but there's that growl below. So it leads to a sort of stalemate, in which the life is going to be divided into good and bad. Now there's one more point, and that is the special nature of these yoga impressions which are put down. Patanjali says in a very important sutra, the yoga impressions are hostile, are the opponents. Below the surface, they're fine. Not just above the surface. But when they have been laid down, the yoga impressions will fight these, and they will begin to thin them out. They will begin to destroy them. And the opponent says, well, why should the yoga ones destroy the worldly ones, and not the worldly ones destroy the yoga impressions? And Shankara says, because the impressions of yoga are impressions of truth. You think, well, why should truth conquer illusion? Something unreal. Well, it does. Because what is illusory can't maintain itself. And this, in fact, is our definition of an illusion. Supposing I see a large and furious bulldog in the street, suddenly I look down and see him by my leg. I can get quite a turn. Then when I look carefully, I see he's stuffed, which is in man, is the basis of his being. And the darkness is like an illusory covering on it. Now one, again, an example from, perhaps we've had this, in our lives. I don't know if you can remember, there's not very many, but they used to have great slabs of chocolate in sweet shops. And sometimes they were put by the door. And as the kids, small kids of about five, would go out, they'd pass in the window just by the door on the shelf. You see, there'd be a great slab of chocolate. And you'd think, I'm going to grab that. But every time we came out, you think, girls watching. Well, then one day, by chance, happened to see that wasn't chocolate at all, that was a piece of tin. It's tin made up to look like chocolate, the display thing. Then the temptation disappeared. You have no temptation to snatch a piece of tin, paint it to look like chocolate. It's illusory.